And last week we talked about being delivered from the judgment. Today we're going to talk about being delivered from the bondage of inadequacy. The bondage of inadequacy. Most of us have felt the bondage of inadequacy at times. We've all felt inadequate at various tasks, right? Maybe some task around the home that maybe you should have called in a plumber or an electrician, but you thought you would go ahead and maybe do this task, even though you felt a little bit inadequate for the task. Certainly when it comes to serving God, I think many feel inadequate. They feel inadequate when it comes to evangelism. They feel inadequate to share the gospel with people who are lost. This is a pervasive problem. It's not just a problem a few of God's people deal with, but many of God's people deal with. Simply fill in the blank. I am not blank enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not attractive enough. I'm not popular enough. I'm not wealthy enough, not talented enough. We always feel inadequate, like we're lacking something. We just don't have what it takes to get the job done. Well, God wants to deliver us from the bondage of inadequacy. Now, it's interesting, Moses, it's an interesting text. So hold your finger here and flip over to Acts 7. Acts 7. And look at verse 25. In verse 25. Actually, let's back up and read verse 24 with it. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended and avenged him who was oppressed. And he struck down the Egyptian. Notice, for he supposed that his brethren would have understood that God would deliver them by his hand, but they did not understand. Now, this refers to when Moses saw an Egyptian smiting one of his Hebrew brothers. He then looked this way and looked that way, didn't see anyone, and he struck that Egyptian and killed him and buried him in the sand. Didn't think anybody saw, but the next day he saw some of his Hebrews, you know, going at it. And he says, you know, stop, stop. What are you going to do? Kill me like you did the Egyptian the other day? And he knows the word is out. But what's interesting there is Moses said, thought somehow from that incident that God's people would have picked up on the fact that God was going to use Moses to deliver them. Now, how they were supposed to pick up on that, I don't know. I just simply don't know. But Moses believed that somehow they should have known that God was going to use him to deliver his people. And when things didn't go the way Moses thought they should have, his confidence tank just went down. It's on empty. You see, Moses thinks that God chose the wrong man. He doesn't believe he's the man for the job. So in Exodus chapter 3, it's the incident of the burning bush. And in verse 10, come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh, and that I should bring the children out of Egypt? You see, Moses says, who am I? Who am I to do this job? Now, at one point, I guess he believed he could, and that God was going to use him, but now he has no belief at all that God is going to use him. He says, who am I? And maybe, just maybe, you've asked that very question. Who am I? Now, this is not an identity problem. You know who you are. It's an inadequacy problem. You just feel inadequate. You see, Moses has lived with his failures now for several decades, four decades to be exact. Moses is like, God, you've got the right plan. You just got the wrong man. What you're about to do is good and right, but I'm not your guy. So, what do you do when you're feeling inadequate? Some tips to help us here. Number one, do not confuse the virtue of humility with the prison of inadequacy. Let me repeat that. Do not confuse the virtue of humility with the prison of inadequacy. You see, true humility recognizes God. True humility recognizes God. True humility denies self. And we understand that our ability comes from God. And it's important that we understand this. Moses thought maybe it was up to him. It was his ability. Look in chapter 4. Look at verse 1. Verse 1. Then Moses answered and said, but suppose they will not believe me or listen to my voice. Suppose they say, the Lord has not appeared to you. What do I do then, God? You see, Moses makes this all about him. It's all about him. And God's about to make this all about him. So beginning in verse 2, read down with me to verse 9. So the Lord said to him, what is in your hand? He said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. He cast it on the ground. And it became a serpent. Notice, and Moses fled from it. He ran. He's afraid of snakes. Then the Lord said to Moses, reach out your hand and take it by the tail. Right after he ran from it. And he reached out his hand and he caught it, and it became a rod in his hand, that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you. Furthermore, the Lord said to him, now put your hand in your bosom. And he put his hand in his bosom. And when he took it out, behold, it was leprous like snow. And he said, put your hand in your bosom again. And he put his hand in his bosom again. And he drew it out of his bosom. And behold, it was restored like the other flesh. Then it will be, if they do not believe, nor heed the message of the first sign, that they may believe the message of the latter sign. And it shall be that if they do not believe even these two signs or listen to your voice, that you shall take water from the river and pour it on the land, and the water which you take from the river will become blood on dry ground. And so Moses at one point wants to make this all about him, and God says, no, it's about me. Moses has a credibility problem. What if they don't believe me, right? That's a problem. What if they don't believe? What if they don't listen to me? Well, he gave him some signs. These are some things you can do to gain credibility because you don't feel like you have any credibility. You know, God doesn't respond to Moses by saying, you know, hey, go get yourself some self-help books, you know. That's not what God says to do. God is telling Moses, you've got to put trust in me. Your credibility is going to come from me. And so think about it. Moses has a small God problem. That's his problem. He has a small God problem. Because if he has a big God view picture, then there's no problem with God delivering his people. And so his problem is he's just got too small a view of God. And he's got to broaden that view. So number two, deliverance from inadequacy doesn't require a bigger view of your potential, but a better view of God. So it builds on the last point, all right? It's not a matter of your potential. It's a matter of having a better view of God. Don't focus on I am not. Focus on I am. That's what God is telling Moses. God is uncaused, the Bible teaches. God is all that you need. And God is communicating this to Moses. Moses, I'm all that you need. You don't need any more than me. When God calls a man to do a task, He expects you to depend upon Him. That's why He says every time He gives a man a task in the Bible, what does He say? I will be with you. Right? Isn't that what He told Joshua? When He charged Joshua with taking the children of Israel into the land of Israel, I will be with you. Jesus, when He issues the great commandment, the great commission, what does He say? I will be with you. Whenever God issues a command, God always promises His presence. He is all that we need. And, you know, God's saying, you know that thing you fear? It answers to me, Moses. That snake that you ran from? It answers to me. All answer to me. Now look in chapter 4, verses 10 through 15. 10 through 15. And then Moses said to the Lord, Oh, my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. And so the Lord said to him, Who has made man's mouth? Or who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with you and I will be with your mouth. And teach you what you shall say. But he said, O Lord, please send by the hand whomever else you may send. In other words, send somebody else. Notice, so the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And he said, Is not Aaron the Levite your brother? I know that he can speak well. And look, He is also coming to meet you, and when he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. Now you shall speak to him and put the words in his mouth, and I will be with your mouth and with his mouth, and I will teach you what you shall do. God says to Moses, I got this. I will take care of this. He says, I am sending you not because you're enough, but because I am enough. You see, bondage causes you to see your inability. That's what it does. It causes you to see your inability. Moses said he couldn't speak well. Now think about that for a moment. He can't speak well? Now, what does Timothy say? Or what does... I seem to just be one letter off or one word off of what I want to say here today for some reason. But over in Acts chapter 7, verse 22, Stephen refers to Moses being powerful in speech. Wait a minute. This communicates that he's not powerful in speech. You see, Moses was powerful in speech. He just wasn't as powerful in speech as he thought he was. And that's the problem. That's the problem. He didn't see his true ability. He didn't see his ability with God working through him. You see, the Bible is about God's adequacy. God helps his people. He enables his people. When God says, I am, he doesn't want to hear I don't. He doesn't want to hear excuses. He doesn't want us to hear we can't do it. You see, who am I? Who am I? You will never be free as long as you let other people answer that for you. You will never be free. You will always be in bondage if you let other people answer that for you. Don't let other people answer that for you. Number three, God does not call the gifted. God gifts the called. God does not call the gifted. God gifts the called. God says, I know, Moses, that you're not enough, but you don't understand. I will be with you. That's all you need, Moses. You don't need anything else. And think about it. If God can use a bush, or God can use a donkey, you don't think He can use you? Think about it. If God can use those things, He most certainly can use you. Let God tell you who you are. Don't let others tell you who you are. You are God's masterpiece. That's what we're told in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. You are His child. You're His masterpiece. And that's all you need to be to do what God has called you to do. Moses went on to be successful in delivering the children of Israel. He did exactly what God called him to do. He didn't believe he was up to the task, but he did it. He did it because he trusted God. He believed that God would be with him. And God worked through him. And God will do the same through you. Some of you feel inadequate to stand up and teach a Bible class. Some of you feel inadequate to share the gospel. Some of you feel inadequate to call and inquire why maybe some haven't been attending services as of late. Just feel inadequate to do those jobs or those tasks. And yet all of those things need to be done. But many feel inadequate to do them. Let me ask you this. Who is God supposed to call? I mean, if we feel inadequate, who's He going to call? If He can't call you because you feel inadequate, and He can't call this person because this person feels inadequate, and He can't call this person because this person feels, there's no one to call. Who does God call? When God calls us, God gifts us. He's given each and every one of us a gift, and He wants us to use these gifts in His kingdom for His glory, for teaching and sharing the gospel and doing the work of God in the community. Number four, last today, freedom comes when we live from a blessing instead of for a blessing. You see, I don't need the applause of people. I don't need that. I don't need that. I'm going to do God's work regardless. I don't need the applause of others. Some people do. I don't need that. You see, I am who God says I am. I can do what God says I can do. And God has equipped me to do the greatest work that is going on in the world. And He says, go and preach the gospel to all creation. You see, Jesus came to be your enough. He is all that you need, and you need nothing else. He is your adequacy. And so this morning, if you're struggling, and you're in the bondage of inadequacy, you just don't believe you can do what God's called you to do. You just don't feel you're up to it. You just can't do it. I hope this message today will somehow liberate you and help you realize that you are free to do whatever God calls you to do. And you're equipped to do whatever God calls you to do. He never calls us to do a work and then not equip us to do that work. And so He's given us His Holy Spirit, and His Spirit will work through us in all the ways that it needs to, whether we're teaching, preaching the gospel, encouraging a brother and sister, inquiring why someone has not been attending, or whatever that might be. Those are hard things to do, and many people don't like doing those things. But if you don't do them, then God's work doesn't get done. And that's a problem. So this morning, I hope that you'll take heed to this message. And I hope and pray that you'll realize that God is all you need. You don't need anything else. He is your sufficiency. He's your sufficiency. You have everything you need in Him. Trust that. And you'll go a long, long way in serving in His kingdom. This morning, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we're going to sing a song. And as we sing this song, it's to encourage you to come forward so that we can share the message of salvation with you, so that you can be saved and you can be ready come day of judgment, because that day will come. So we encourage you to come as we sing.